Hi, I'm John Miro, and you're listening to Short Stories of Dan Dan the Art Man, Episode 5. Although a very different breed of sci-fi than the tale you're about to hear, you can find my podcast novel, Enemy Lines, a near-future science fiction adventure story about conspiracies, spies, and aliens, where the lines aren't as clear as you think, available as a free audiobook via podcast at johnmiro.com. And now, on with Dan's story.
The Last Butterscotch,
a short story written and read by Dan Absalonson.
It had become routine for his mom. She had done it maybe 100 times, which is why when Henry Jr. came into the barn to see the newborn kittens, he counted them several times. Sure of the number, he jogged into the house.
Mom!
Yes, what is it, dear? Lunch is almost ready.
No, Mom, you gotta come see.
Come see what, dear?
You said there were 4 kittens.
Yeah?
Well, I counted, and just to make sure, I counted like 6 times, but there's 5 kittens in there, Mom.
Melinda put down the jam-smeared table knife and followed her son to the barn. She wiped a bit of jelly from her fingers onto her apron before picking up her pad and pencil. On it, she had written a short description of each kitten, along with their weight and health status. To the left of each kitten's weight, she had left a space for a name. Henry Jr. had just turned 12, and now was old enough by family tradition to have a kitten of his own. If there was a runt in the litter, or one that didn't sell for some reason, it was his. Another perk was that he now had the privilege to name each kitten. As they left the house, the familiar smells of hay and cow manure filled the warm air. The sun, now high in the sky, bounced brightly off his mom's flower-patterned shirt. She had to squint until inside the barn, where she squinted again in disbelief. There were 5 kittens.
Oh my! I just don't see how there could have been another kitten in that mama's belly.
There were other odd things. The 5th cat looked identical to one who had been accounted for, and he was sitting apart from the others. As soon as they came into the barn, he scurried over to join them. She couldn't be sure from the distance, but it looked like the kitten's eyes were open. Had it been watching the others? No newborn kitten can open its eyes.
How come he was sitting apart from the others over there, Mama?
I don't know, child.
She walked over and picked up the little kitten. To be sure, it looked just like another one. Every stripe, each accented paw. To her amazement, the cats even weighed the same. I mean, down to the ounce. While she had the chance to know the kittens apart, she marked one of its claws with a permanent marker from her apron pocket.
Well, you're going to have to come up with another name now. What are you going to name them all, Henry?
Oh, that's easy, Mom.
He rummaged in his pocket and pulled out a small, creamy orange disc wrapped in clear plastic.
I'm going to name them all Butterscotch, after my favorite candy, he said, holding it up in front of him.
He pulled the wrapper off, stuffed it back in his pocket, and popped the candy into his mouth. His tongue dancing around the candy to form his words, he finished.
They're the same color.
Yes, they are the same color, Henry. You're going to name them all Butterscotch?
Yes, Mama.
Well, that's your choice, I suppose. They'll all be given different names when they go home with families anyway. I'll mark down Butterscotch for all of them.
After finishing her entries, she put the pad back in her pocket, and they headed to the house for lunch. The 5th Butterscotch scurried away from the other kittens as they shut the door. Then he opened his eyes. Papa came in from working the farm to join his family for lunch. As they passed around the sandwiches and piled them onto their plates, he said,
"Thanks, dear. This'll really hit the spot."
They're just sandwiches, Henry.
Henry Jr., doesn't your mama make the best sandwiches this side of the state?
Oh, yeah, Papa. Even better than Mrs. Jennings at the diner in town.
There, you see, honey? proof from the expert.
Well, thank you. I like to keep my hard-working boys well fed.
So, Henry, Mama was telling me you got to name the kittens today?
Yeah, I named them all Butterscotch, because they're all the same color as my favorite candy.
Is that so?
His father said with a chuckle.
Well, son, are there any runts among them?
Henry, please stop chewing with your mouth full of food.
No, Papa. They're all a good size. He took a drink.
Well, maybe in the next litter, son.
Yeah, I know. I know we don't have kittens who don't sell much, but I was really hoping there would be one this first time.
I don't know. He might be getting one this time around,
Mama said.
You talking about that late bloomer, honey?
Yeah, there's something strange about that kitten. Something not right.
Nonsense, Melinda,
Henry said with a laugh.
No, I'm serious. It's like it came from somewhere else. I swear I saw it watching the others when we first came into the barn.
With its eyes open. A newborn kitten?
When Henry Jr. saw the look on his wife's face, he stopped laughing. After weeks of witnessing the kitten's odd behaviors, Melinda was pretty creeped out. The cat looked just fine, healthy and gaining weight, but it was always the exact same weight as its twin, and it could never be found feeding, so how was it gaining this weight? Plus, Melinda had snuck into the barn a couple times and had indeed seen the little kitten with its eyes open, standing apart from the others, appearing to observe them. She wanted the cat to go, but she knew her son felt differently. She hoped as soon as the cats went for sale that it would be gone. Henry Jr. had taken a liking to the little guy. His love for the tiny cat grew as they came of age to be sold. He felt sorry for him because none of the other cats would ever play with him. It's like they knew he was different somehow. Then the families came by. Moms and dads brought their kids into the barn. When people came to see the kittens, they were all so cute and cuddly and playful, all except number 5. He would hide in the corner or duck under the mama kitten. At the end of the day, when all but 2 of the kittens had been sold, a little boy and his mother came into the barn. Number 5 was nearest to him, but when he went to pick him up, the cat ran. He chased the kitten until he was cornered. His little orange hair stood on end. The boy saw the other cat near its mother and left the stressed-out kitten for that one. This kitten seemed happy to be in his arms, and when he put him down, the cat walked around the boy, brushing up against his sky-blue jeans with affection.
"I like this one, Mommy. That other one's weird,"
the boy said.
"All right, child. No need to be rude. We'll take that one, then. Pick him up and you can carry him to the truck."
"Oh, boy. Thanks, Mama."
"That's fine."
The woman looked to the other kitten, still cowering in the corner. She gave him an odd look and then smiled at Melinda as she paid. Melinda smiled back, but after the woman left, her lips dropped the ruse and formed a frown, her gaze hovering over to the last kitten, sitting in the corner, watching them. Her son went over and picked him up.
"I don't think you're weird. I like you," he said.
He looked to his mother.
"Can I keep him, Mama? No one else is going to buy him."
She looked down, releasing a large sigh as her shoulders drooped.
"I suppose so, hon. Maybe you can give that kitten enough love to start acting normal."
Henry Jr. and the kitten got along just swell. After a few days of holding and feeding him, he began to follow Henry Jr. around wherever he went. While he did his chores, it would watch him keenly, totally content to lay nearby and watch him work. While he ate his meals inside, it would wrap around his legs, caressing his boots with an outstretched back and tail, then settle down near his feet under the table. This night, it laid curled up in a ball next to him, purring softly. He sat against the headboard, pillow tucked beneath him, reading a science fiction magazine with a flashlight.
after finishing a story about a young boy who had found an alien ship covered up by hay in the loft of his daddy's barn. He tucked the magazine under his pillow and called it a night. Soon his tiny snoring sounds became a harmony to the cat's soft purring. Later that night, Henry Jr. woke up to nature's calling. As he pulled his covers off and sat up, he noticed his cat Butterscotch was not laying next to him.
"Butterscotch, where are you, boy?"
He didn't see the cat anywhere. Unable to ignore nature any longer, he got up and made his way to the bathroom. Just as he reached the open door, he noticed blue light flickering across the plastered walls further down the hallway. Nature could wait. He wanted to see why his papa was up. Something must have been worrying him. His dad was always to bed early because he got up so early to work the farm.
"Daddy, why are you up?"
When the recliner failed to swivel, he walked through the hall into the living room and saw his cat asleep on the couch next to the television remote.
"Butterscotch, what are you doing in here? Were you keeping Papa company?"
He scratched the cat behind its ears, who immediately got up and went back to the bedroom. Henry noticed his cat had not stretched first before getting off the couch and making his way back down the hall. Maybe Mama was right. He didn't act like any other cat Henry had known. It was always something little, but it was always something. A yawn reminded him he had better do his business and get back to sleep, so he went to the bathroom and then back to bed. Butterscotch was there, curled into a ball ready to join him in dreamland. He climbed into bed and pulled the covers up. Then he reached over and stroked Butterscotch a few times from head to tail. It always amused him to see the way cats stretched their bodies upward to feel the touch of your hand. Soon the cat was laying back down, purring. As Henry Jr. dozed off, in the back of his mind, he barely noticed that even the cat's purring sound was a bit off. He had been around cats all his life, but never heard a purr like this. He hoped nothing was wrong with the little guy. It sounded a bit too high-pitched, more like a clicking than a purr. He yawned again and let his mind drift from concern to excitement for the next morning. It would be Saturday, and that meant he got to sleep in a bit and watch cartoons before having to go out and do his chores. He hoped Mama would be making hotcakes. They were his favorite. Before long, he was out, dreaming of fluffy golden brown stacks covered in fresh butter and rich maple syrup. His plate held a pile so high it almost reached to the ceiling as its syrup-coated sides glistened in the sunlight streaking in through the windows. He woke up and started to reach for his boots when he remembered it was Saturday. He could stay in his pajamas until after he was finished with breakfast. He slid out of bed and walked into the living room, where he turned on the television set. His favorite show, Howdy Doody, was just starting.
"Say, kids, what time is it?" "Oh, well, howdy, Doody kids, and ho, Buffalo Bob."
"Well, howdy, Mr. Doody, and boys and girls at home and kids in the gallery, let's go."
About halfway through, his mom came out and made her way into the kitchen. Before long, he could smell that she was cooking his favorite. Now that he thought about it, she probably made it for him just about every Saturday morning. She was well-practiced, too, because just as his show was ending, she called to him.
"Breakfast is ready, Henry. Will you go and get your father and let him know?"
Apparently, it had become a weekly tradition, because just as he came back into the living room with his boots over his pajamas, his dad walked through the front door.
"Well, hey, son, what are you doing wearing your boots over the top of your PJs?"
"I was coming to get you, Papa."
"Well, take off your boots. You look like a loony."
"Yes, sir,"
Henry Jr. said with a salute.
"Let me guess, the Howdy Doody show was just on."
"Yeah, Papa, it's my favorite. Just like Mom's hotcakes."
"She does make some good hotcakes, doesn't she?"
His dad ruffled his hair as he walked to the table and took his place. Henry Jr. joined him.
Smells good. Thanks for making hotcakes, Mama."
"Well, it's my pleasure, Henry Jr. You're a good boy and a hard worker. You deserve to sleep in a little, watch some television, and have some hotcakes on Saturday morning. You won't be a little boy forever,
she said, glaring at Henry Sr., who ignored her.
It won't be much longer that I can baby you.
She walked over, pulled his head into her waist, and kissed it. Then she sat down and looked at the two boys.
Now who's going to say grace?
They bowed their heads. Papa said a few words, and then they got to eating. Everyone made short stacks on their plates and covered them with butter and syrup. They passed a glass pitcher with ice-cold milk around, filling their glasses and digging in with forks of fury. After the initial chowdown, they began talking about the day's work.
Henry, honey, why don't you go muck out the stables after breakfast, and then you can groom and feed the horses?
Okay, Mama.
As much as mucking out the stables sounded like the worst job on the farm, Henry Jr. didn't mind it. The smell wasn't so bad. He had grown up around it all his life. Besides that, the best part came after the dirty work was done. He loved brushing down the horses, talking to them as he ran the soft bristles through their hair. He loved the way their soft noses felt under his calloused working hands. The horses liked him, too. Mama always said they were more at ease after he had taken his time to groom and feed them. The only bad thing about doing this job now was that Butterscotch couldn't come with him. While the cat was at his side day and night, it would be a little too dangerous and messy to be underneath the horses while Henry worked. So he left Butterscotch on the couch after he got dressed and headed out to the stables. Time always flew by once the hard part was over. Henry had always thought horses make great company, with their beautiful hair and kind eyes. He ended up finishing a bit early and headed in to get washed up for lunch. On the way back to the house, he decided that he was a spy, so he would have to sneak into the house undetected by the enemy. His enemy would be expecting him, so he went around to the back of the house. He opened the door slowly, doing his best to quiet the creaks and groans its hinges made as it swung open. Once inside with the door closed behind him and no enemy detection, he crept low towards the main control room. That's when he noticed that the television was on, which was odd because he knew his parents were still out working, and he had turned it off before going to work the stables. Then he noticed that the channel had been changed. It was on the news. He figured it must have been Papa, but he would never take a break to watch the news. His parents were nothing if not predictable. Hard workers who took that work seriously. He moved farther into the living room and noticed that the remote control was no longer on the coffee table where he had left it. Then he heard that strange clicking, almost like the sound of a cat's purr. It was his cat's purr, and right there underneath Butterscotch's paw was the television remote. The cat looked asleep. Had he accidentally pressed one of the buttons? But how could he have gotten it from the coffee table? His dad must have been using it. But his dad always turned the TV off. Maybe Butterscotch accidentally turned it back on with the remote under his paw after his dad had changed it to the news. He grabbed the remote from underneath Butterscotch, waking the cat. He sat next to him and changed it back to the kids' shows and watched the rest of them until his parents came in for lunch. His mom was the first one in, so she could get a start before Pa came. He would have asked his mom if Papa had come in to watch the news, but he knew she was already creeped out by his cat and didn't want her to become even more scared of Butterscotch. So he waited for his daddy to come in.
Hey, y'all. Is lunch ready?
Just finished.
All right. Thanks, sweetie.
You're welcome. I'm just going to go freshen up before we eat.
All right, sweetie.
Okay, Mom. Hey, Papa. Did you watch the news earlier this morning?
No, boy. Why do you ask?
Well, it's kind of funny. When I came in after doing my chores, the television set was on.
Henry Sr. raised an eyebrow.
Also, the remote had been moved to the couch, which I found underneath my cat's paw, and the channel had been changed to the news station.
Well, that's particular, ain't it? Listen, don't tell your mama. She's a little...
I know. That's why I waited to ask you. It's almost like the cat got it from the coffee table and changed the channel.
He was asleep when you came in?
Yeah. with the remote right under his paw.
Well, it wasn't me, son. I don't right know what to say. You sure you didn't leave the remote on the couch? Maybe he bumped a button.
No, I'm sure, Papa. I turned the television set off and put the remote in its spot.
Well, let's just forget about the whole thing and try and enjoy our lunch.
Okay, Papa. Henry Jr. let it go, but it was in the back of his mind, grinding away all day as he played in the sun. That night after dinner, they played a game of three-handed spades, then called it a night. Henry Jr. was excited to read the next story in his science fiction magazine, but still being a bit spooked and worn out from mucking all the stables, he decided to give it up and move on to the next day. Before he knew it, he had drifted off into a deep sleep. Once again, he woke up in the middle of the night, thankful that his body did this now instead of wetting the bed like he used to. A large yawn fell out of his mouth, and he pulled the covers down. Again, Butterscotch was no longer laying next to him. He wanted to just go back to sleep, but Mother Nature refused to give him travel back to Dreamland, so he got out of bed and walked to the bathroom. Just as the night before, he saw a flicker of bluish light bouncing down the hallways from the living room beyond. Immediately, a picture of his cat sitting there on the couch, changing the channels, rushed into his mind. He didn't know what he was going to find in the living room, but he guessed it would scare him, so he decided to take care of business before making the trek down the neon hallway. He managed to open the door without a sound, but kept it open as he walked inside, just in case its hinges would sing on the way out. He sat the way he did when he was really tired or sick with a fever to make the process a silent one. The light outside flashing against the walls mocked him, making a time he had hoped would be a sliver of respite from the horror he would soon face no break at all. His heart kept pounding faster in his chest. His job done, he pulled up his pajama bottoms and skipped a flush or washing his hands. He didn't want who or whatever it was down in the living room to know he was coming. Into the long hallway he stepped. He didn't look down towards the living room yet, but back inside his bedroom. He could just go back to sleep and pretend that this had never happened. Maybe it was one of those stories in the magazine that had piqued his interest, but he just had to find out what was going on in his living room. He forced himself to turn, and placing one foot reluctantly in front of another, he made his way at the pace of a tortoise down the hallway. He knew it wasn't his papa. The man never would be up late at night watching television. He had heard all kinds of stories from his mama of how hard of a sleeper his daddy was. Sometimes when something spooked her, it was all she could do to get him to wake up and go check it out. Nope, whoever it was not Papa. He reached the end of the hall, stopped, and ducked down to crawl towards the back of the couch. He could hear the clicking of the television remote before the channel would change. It matched the beating of his pulse as he crawled across the floor. Fearing the worst, he prepared himself to see his little cat Butterscotch changing the channels as he rose above the back of the couch. But a small orange kitten is not what Henry Jr. saw. As his eyes peered over the cushion, there was a small, green, gangly man with a too large head holding the remote beneath him. He tried very hard not to, but a small scream of terror jumped past his lips before he could stop it. The little man spun, and seeing Henry Jr., let out a small sound of his own as he jumped back, almost falling off the couch. Henry Jr. snapped out of fear's ice-cold grip and ran down the hallway like a disturbed nest of hornets was after him. He lunged into his room, slamming the door and leaning up against it so the creature couldn't follow him in. He had heard a shuffle on the couch as he bolted down the hallway, and then just before he closed the door, footsteps following after him. Those same footsteps now slowed, approaching his bedroom door. Then they stopped. He didn't want to keep leaning against the door. He wanted to push off of it like an Olympic swimmer and dive out of his bedroom window. He could run to Pa's pickup and just drive until daylight. But if he stopped holding his weight against the door, then the creature could come in.
He tried to catch his breath and calm down. He heard slow, measured breaths on the other side. He stood there leaning in a terrible conflict to run for what seemed like an eternity, and then he heard a strange little voice.
Henry, it's me, your cat Butterscotch.
Henry didn't reply. He was too scared to speak. The voice continued.
I'm so sorry I scared you like that. I never meant for you to see me in this, my true form.
Henry Jr. found his voice, but it came out just above a whisper.
True form? What do you mean?
Some of those stories in your magazines aren't too far from the truth, Henry. I'm from another planet.
You're an alien? I knew it!
Yes, I am, as you say, an alien to this planet.
Well, what are you doing here, and why did you act like you were a cat?
I was sent here to study your planet. I needed to find out if your kind are peaceful, and how advanced your technology is.
But why?
I was selected as part of a group to go out to all the planets where we have found signals of life forms, to see if they pose any threat to our way of life. Even if your people had proved hostile, which I have seen from your news transmitter that many are, you would have not posed a threat to us anytime soon. It will be some time before your kind is able to produce vessels which can perform space travel to distant solar systems, though I have witnessed much hostility against one another among you on the news. It seems that many of you are peaceful life forms. Your family certainly is.
God, this is going to be one wild story to tell the guys when school starts again.
You must promise me to never tell anyone of this. I can only be your cat, Butterscotch. I was going to stay on your planet until the average lifespan of my false feline frame had passed, but now I can leave and go back to my home to report my findings. I have grown to love you and your family, and I am very glad that I will be able to report this planet forms no threat to our way of life anytime soon.
So, if I let you in, you're not going to hurt me or anything, right?
Talking to the creature had decreased Henry Jr.'s nerves a bit, and now his curiosity at seeing this little man up close and personal was getting the best of him.
As I have told you, I love you and your family. You have shown me nothing but love and compassion. I will not harm you.
Well, yeah, but that's because I thought you were my little kitten, not some alien.
If you let me come into your room, I will not hurt you. I am your friend, Henry.
Well, okay. I guess you wouldn't know my name unless you were Butterscotch. I always wanted to meet a real alien. Do you have a flying saucer and everything?
My ship is not saucer-shaped, but yes, it is behind your parents' barn.
Henry Jr. slowly opened his door until just a bit of it stood ajar. His eyes traced the alien's form, standing right outside of his bedroom. He took a deep breath and then swung the door all the way open.
Thank you, Henry.
Butterscotch walked inside and closed the door behind him.
I did not want your parents to discover me. Your mother is already very suspicious of me. She is always trying to sneak up on me and catch me doing something. Night is the only time I have been able to roam around the house freely. It takes a lot of concentration to hold the form of a feline.
A what?
A cat.
Oh, right. Hey, how come your voice sounds so funny?
On my home planet, we usually speak in three voices at a time, and it is hard for me to speak in only one. So I just try and make my other two voices quiet while we communicate.
How can you speak in three voices at once?
That is not important. I must go now, Henry, so I can report back home.
Henry Jr.'s eyes began to glisten with warm tears.
So I guess I won't have a little kitty cat anymore.
I am very sorry, Henry. I know you have wanted a pet kitten for so long now.
He wiped away the first tear that had made it past an eyelid and slid down his cheek.
That's okay. I always knew there was something wrong with you. Your purring never did sound right, and you acted like no other cat I've ever seen, and I've seen a lot of them. You really scare my mom.
Yes, I know. I am sorry for that. Now that I'll be gone, she will not have to be frightened of me anymore. I hope that it will not make you too sad that I am leaving. Perhaps it will help now that you know that I am not really a cat.
Yeah, I guess not. The butterscotch I know doesn't really exist, does he?
No, he does not. I am sorry that I was forced to deceive you, but now you can see why I did not want to be seen in this form. I did not want to simply hide and observe from afar. I wanted to blend in so I could hear all of your conversations and discover what your lives are really like.
Yeah, I could see why you'd want to do that.
I had better go before your father gets up.
You have to go right now?
Yes, I must fly my craft away from this planet while it is still nighttime, so that there is less chance anyone will see it.
Could I see you just one more time as Butterscotch to say goodbye?
It would be the least I could do to repay you for your kindness to me.
In less than a second, the green man had morphed into little old Butterscotch. He purred and rubbed his back up against Henry's pant leg until his tail brushed past. Henry bent down and stroked him a good many times from head to tail as full tears began to fall from his young eyes. He picked him up and gave him a long hug, then put him down, scratched him behind his ears, and opened the window. The cat brushed one more time up against Henry and then leapt for the windowsill and jumped down. Henry walked to the open air and watched his friend walk casually towards the barn as if to try his paw at catching some mice. When the cat got to the front of the barn, however, he stopped, looked back to Henry, and then ran around to the side of the barn, where he disappeared behind its red walls. Before long, Henry saw a massive black egg-shaped spacecraft, with orange rectangular bright lights shining all around its sleek hull, rise above his daddy's barn. Its dark hovering form covered half of the barn with its width. Henry rubbed his eyes.
This had better not be a dream.
He thought. He pinched himself. It hurt. This was no dream. The craft sat there for a while hovering, making no noise whatsoever. Then it slowly turned from deep black to pure white, and just as fast as you can say pig slop, shot into the night sky. As it shot up, it left a quick zipper sound behind it. Before long, it looked like just another star hanging in the great fabric of the night sky.
Wow.
Henry said to himself. He watched until the light blinked out, and then closed the window and got back into bed. He lay there, unable to wrap his mind around what he had just witnessed. It was just so amazing. But before he could fall asleep, his amazement wore off, and he began to cry again. He missed the clicking sound his cat had made when he purred. It took until midway through breakfast until his parents noticed Butterscotch wasn't napping under Henry's feet during breakfast. Pa spoke up first.
Where's that oddball cat of yours, son? You've been awful quiet this morning. Everything all right?
I don't know, Papa. I think he ran away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that, son. Tell you what, as soon as we're done with breakfast here, we'll get in my truck and go look for him, all right?
Okay.
Henry Jr. couldn't help but notice the small look of relief on his mama's face when she heard these words. They all hurried to finish breakfast, and then the two walked out to the truck. As its engines started up, Henry Jr. looked to the barn, wishing he could see the ship floating above it one last time. Even though Butterscotch had turned out to be an alien, Henry still dearly missed him. Pa shifted it into gear, and they checked out all the places around the farm where he might have gone to. When they couldn't find him, they cruised out onto the road and headed each way as far as Pa could figure a cat could get overnight. The cat was nowhere on the road. Pa turned around and headed for home.
I sure am sorry, son. I don't know why he would just run off like that. He seemed to like you a great deal.
It's okay, Papa.
Henry Jr. kept his eyes in the sky as they drove over the rough road while the sun peeked over the tall hills in the distance. After they parked the truck while they were walking back to the house, they heard a noise coming from the barn. It was the sound of a cowbell Mama had tied to a low string for the kittens to play with. Butterscotch had never played with it.
Now what in tarnation is that?
Pa said as they changed their path to the barn.
He swung the barn door open, and there was a little kitten playing with the cowbell. Well, what do you know? After driving over all that, we missed him right here in this barn. Must have come in here after we searched the place. Henry Jr. rushed into the barn. He could tell right away that it wasn't Butterscotch. The cat looked just about the same, but it moved differently. It moved like a cat. A real cat. He stroked it behind its ears. It pressed its head into Henry Jr.'s hand and began to purr. The purr was different, too. It was normal. As Henry Jr. picked up the little guy, he thought it was a purr he could get used to hearing as he fell asleep, ate breakfast, or watched TV. He knew who the cat was from. How else could the little guy have come here when their nearest neighbor was over 10 miles away?
You ready to go tell Mama we found him?
Sure, Papa. Let's go. Henry and Melinda would never know that this wasn't the same Butterscotch. As he followed his pa back to the house, he turned back to look at the barn. Just then he saw a large black egg shape turning white above the barn. Then it flew off into the blue sky and was gone, just like that. Henry Sr. turned back at the sound of the spaceship ripping through the air as it left.
What was that, son? You unzipping your coat?
Henry Jr. pulled his zipper down quickly and then turned to face his father.
Yeah, Papa. I was just going to let Butterscotch warm up a bit in my jacket.
He put the cat in his coat so just its little head stuck out from his chest and followed his dad inside. The end. Hey everybody, this is Dan Absalonson, the writer of this short story. Really hope you enjoyed it, and there'll be another one coming out in a month. Wanted to let you guys know I've got some great promos to play after this, just a couple. One is for Enemy Lines by John Miro. You guys have to check it out. I finished listening to the last episode last week, and it's an awesome cliffhanger. I cannot wait for episode 10 to drop. And then there's a completed audiobook called Cybrosis by PC Herring, and I'll be playing the promo for that great audiobook after this as well. So, hope you guys enjoy, find some other great fiction to listen to, and I'll see you in a month.
Music used was Pista 11 by Flauta Dulce, found at archive.org.
This podcast is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivative Works 3.0 U.S. license.
The stars have secrets. Some say these secrets have fallen from the skies. The government says it's not true. But in the 40s, they created an organization to track down flyers, to learn their technology, and bring one back. The threat of peace leads Black Ridge Defense to investigate rumors of a secret organization named Division 10. Typhon system-wide has pushed ahead of its rivals to be the first in orbit and the first to mine the asteroid belt. But when they learn of Black Ridge's investigation, they form an alliance to take control of Division 10. And they're going to take down a president to do it. As their plans come to a head, something emerges from a burning building in New York City. Something that could threaten Typhon and Black Ridge victory. Their soldiers are on the way, and so are the black helicopters of Division 10. But there's another player in this game, and far higher stakes than control of a government or new technology. The Flyers are back.
Enemy Lines, a novel written and performed by John Miro. For more information, visit enemylinesnovel.com.
For Agent Cyrus, the world's first cyborg, the mission should have been simple.
You deploy, secure the hotel, take him into custody, and extract.
But when a routine snatch and grab goes wrong...
Confirmed. Hostile jumped 9 stories and is fleeing. Do not engage Hostile. I repeat, do not engage.
Cyrus finds herself at the center of a conspiracy that threatens the very foundation of her existence.
The virus is progressive, and as it eats through the programming, your implants will lose their functionality. Your critical biological systems are dependent on the implants. If they die, either from the virus or your own immune system rejecting them...
My biological systems won't be able to function.
Now, with time running against her, Cyrus finds herself in the crosshairs of a conspiracy set to destroy her.
You think that because you have his name, you've cracked this case? You haven't scratched the surface. Even if you dig, you won't live long enough to see it through. You have no idea where this goes.
On January 1, 2010, Cybrosis, the debut podcast novel by PC Herring, hacks into your RSS feed. Join some of the biggest names in podcasting, including Heather Welliver.
You were right to fear us, you son of a bitch.
Christiana Ellis.
You and I work together to solve this. Together we go as far as needed until all of your questions are answered and we have the absolute truth.
Chris Lester.
My terms are simple. I want $30 million for the plans, another $70 if you want the prototype.
George Hrob.
We don't even know what she's up against. And if it is him...
Everything we tried to do years ago is going to blow up in our face and bite us in the ass.
And Chuck Tomasi, as Agent Cyrus races to unravel the conspiratorial shroud enveloped around her.
I understand you don't trust me right now, and I don't blame you. You aren't the first, and if Tech Guy has his way, you certainly won't be the last.
Before it consumes her.
Warning. Hydrogen fuel leak detected. Begin evacuation procedures.
Cybrosis, the debut podcast novel by PC Herring. Coming to you on 010110 from www.cybrosisnovel.com.